You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome inside the Inside the War Room podcast presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Dante Colonelli, joined by my co-host, Saray Poole. Saray, my guy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, man. We got some draft stuff to talk about. All the work we put in is finally over. Man, we can take a break and relax and just kind of give people some crap or give them credit for what they did and did not do. We are missing Tyler, so that is sad, but I guess the show must go on, so here we are.
Yeah, a little known fact, the NFL draft did happen this weekend, in case you didn't know and you were listening
unless
to this podcast.
Unless you're like under a rock or something.
Right, yes, and unfortunately we are without our guy Tyler. He had to stay late at work tonight, and we are on deadline, unfortunately, so here we are.
Job calls, man, job calls.
Yeah, you know, that's just the way it is. But yeah, we are going to recap the 2021 NFL draft a little bit tonight. We might go more in depth later. We have the whole summer to fill content, and we were just talking pre-show. Some of us are starting the 2022 class, some of us not so much, so we'll get to that eventually. So we might do more 2021 NFL draft recap, but today we're just going to like generally speak about the class. Me and Saray are going to break down some picks that we didn't like on day one in the first round, and then we're going to pivot to talk about some classes that we liked, some classes that we didn't like. I don't know, we're just going to spitball. There's a ton of stuff to cover. There's 32 teams. We probably won't get to them all, but we'll do our best. So we're going to start with day one picks that were a little bit head scratching. Saray, my guy, what do you what confused you on Thursday night?
Oh man, 17 overall, Las Vegas Raiders, Alex Leatherwood. This just screams Mike Mayock, man. It's a big program. It's a well-known recruit, right? It's somebody who's well-respected and looked at as a hard worker. You know, Saban and company's raving about him, you know, so like from that standpoint, I understand why Mayock would make this pick, but it's just the same thing. Like, I think they're one more bad draft away from losing their jobs. Look, Cleveland Farrell, right? Clemson, big recruit, right? Oh, you know, he's raved about in the locker room, you know, respectable guy, hard worker, and number three overall, and he's not even the best pass rusher on their roster. So, listen, I think Leatherwood is, for many people, thinks that he projects better as a guard. We talked about it when we did our tackle breakdown. I know you're not a huge Leatherwood guy, and I don't want to act like I don't like Leatherwood, but I don't like the value. This is a player I gave a mid to late second grade on just because I think that just 17 is rich, man. Like, there's really – that's just a bad pick. It's just, and he's not even a top five tackle. Some people ranked him as a tackle. Some people – he's not even a top six or seven tackle, for being honest, man. Like, it – I don't know, man. I don't know what the Raiders see in these things. Every year they're looking for just the high caliber, big program guy, and it's just not the move, man. You really got to sit down and like maybe adjust your evaluation process, maybe see what you're looking for, because if you're trying to build your roster based off of high program kids, it doesn't work like that in NFL, man. It's in high school, right? You don't just get to go to the five-star, you know, recruits in high school and just bring them to the pros. That's not how this works anymore, man. You're, you know, putting grown men against other grown men. So that was one pick I really didn't like, was Alex Leatherwood to the Raiders.
Yeah, it's really interesting to go back and look at John Gruden's timeline, because I will die on the hill that he is the decision maker in that room and not Mike Mayock. He took over the team in 2018. Here's a list of their first round picks. Colton Miller worked out. 2019, they went with Cleveland Farrell, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Abram in the first round. In 2020, Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett. And then this year they went with Alex Leatherwood. So not great. Really not very good. You spent a top four pick on Cleveland Farrell, like you mentioned, not great. Jonathan Abrams barely been on the field, and when he has been on the field, he's been bad. Josh Jacobs is undoubtedly a good player, but he plays the least valuable position in the sport. And then you get to Henry Ruggs, who I think everyone loved last year, but had an underwhelming rookie season, spent some time injured. Damon Arnett is a guy that they reached on in the first round. I don't think they needed to take him there. You could probably say a lot of the same things about that pick that you will about the Leatherwood pick. And the unfortunate thing about the Leatherwood pick is I don't think Alex Leatherwood's a bad football player. I really don't. I think he can come in and be a solid tackle for them, and maybe that is worth a first rounder. Mike Mayock said that he's going to be the starting right tackle this year, and like maybe that's worth a first rounder for them. Maybe it is, but I think they reached there. I think there was better tackles on the board that they could have taken. I think you could have traded back and maybe got Alex Leatherwood. Even if you couldn't, I think the Raiders needed to go, you know, maybe defense with that pick or something. Like, I don't know, man. I just think like, honestly, would have preferred if they would have selected like Greg Newsom. You know what I mean? Just like take a defensive player. And the unfortunate thing is that I think the Raiders did a good job addressing some needs. They got Tyree Gillespie and Trayvon Moehrig, my safety 1 and 3 later in the draft. But Leatherwood, definitely a head scratcher. The big one for me was, I'm stuck between a couple. I think I'm going to talk about Travis Etienne here going to the Jaguars at pick 25. And you talked about this pre-show. And I just think that, look, man, let's get away. Like running backs, yeah, like we joke about them not mattering. Here's the thing. It's not a joke. They do not. And I just think that there's a lot of evidence. This is not a fantasy football podcast. We have a lot of fantasy football podcasts on this show. If they love the Travis Etienne pick, more power to you. If it's great for your fantasy league, I'm happy for you. I really am. I hope you get him early in Dynasty. But this is an NFL draft podcast. We are doing a team evaluation perspective. You cannot draft a running back at 25 with the holes that the Jaguars have on their roster. That's just not a good team building process. You have holes on the offensive line. You have holes at all three levels of your defense. And you pass up, selecting a better player than Travis Etienne, who, I mean, look, he's going to come in, he's going to give you speed, and that's great, and we know how much Urban Meyer loves speed. The other problem with this selection is I could maybe get on board with it at least a little bit if Jacksonville, like, just didn't have any running backs or they weren't getting production out of that position. But that's not the case. They had James Robinson last year, who was the best rookie running back of the entire year last year as an undrafted free agent, again, proving that running backs don't matter. And that if you give a guy enough touches and you block well enough for him, he can be productive. And they go out and they draft Travis Etienne and they're like, yeah, we're going to do it. He's going to be the third down back. So you took a third down back with the 25th overall pick in the NFL draft. That's a horrible selection. That's really bad. The only way that a running back is worth it early in the draft is if you feed that dude touches and you run him into the dirt for 5 years and then you let him go, right? And then that's what, you know, we saw the Cowboys do that with Ezekiel Elliott, and then they paid him and then went downhill from there. And we've seen that with a lot of other teams. But, you know, the Jaguars right now, they're talking like, oh, he's going to come in, he's going to be this pass catching back. First of all, you know, when did Travis Etienne become this, you know, elite pass catcher out of the backfield, man? I must have missed that train. He's improved, steadily improved over the course of his career, catching the football out of the backfield. He deserves a ton of credit for that. But he is not like this great pass catching back who's going to go out there and run you routes and different things. Like, I don't know. I did not see that on film. I don't think he's bad. I think he can catch the football, but you know, I almost think making him a third down back would even be a disservice to him. So, and also they signed Carlos Hyde, who's like a mildly productive running back. So this is just a very confusing pick for me. It's got nothing to do with Travis Etienne, the player. He was my RB3. He was a top 40 player for me. I like him. I think he's a good football player. But man, if you're Jacksonville, you got bigger fish to fry, my dudes. Like, you really do. You got to protect that big dude that you just drafted at number one overall, Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you got to protect him. You got to give him weapons that are, you know, more valuable than a guy like Travis Etienne, who, I mean, honestly, James Robinson and Carlos Hyde, probably fine at running back, especially what we saw from James Robinson. So that was a big head scratch for me, although it wasn't surprising to see Urban Meyer draft a speedy, well-known, you know, big-time recruit. That did not shock me at all.
That's Urban Meyer for you, man. He wants to, you know, pace and space. You know, he thinks this is Ohio State again. I really don't know what they're saying here. You touched on it perfectly, saying that running backs don't matter, man. James Robinson, right? You said undrafted, 1,000-yard rusher, man. Like, I'm all for pairing rookie quarterbacks with familiar players they played with in college. It makes the job maybe a little easier, a little more comfortable. Just, you know, makes the growing process or growing pains, you know, a little less lumpy, I guess we can say. But a running back at 25 when you don't have a tackle, you know, after Greg Robinson, and I don't know, man. We Walker Little, like, really? Oh, come on, man. It just was not a good draft. We'll just leave it at that. We can move on.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Jamin Davis pick for Washington, because that was another one that you and I were like, really? What do you think about that one? You know, I didn't like it. Obviously, it was a huge reach against my board. I didn't rank Jamin Davis in my top 100, so it was a gigantic reach for me. The only thing that gives me caution about killing this pick is that Ron Rivera is, like, really good with linebackers. They've drafted quite a good – a lot of Hall of Fame linebackers have come out of Ron Rivera. So maybe he sees something that we don't, but, man, Jamin is a weird pick.
I will agree, right? There was Shaq Thompson, there was Thomas Davis, there's Luke Kuechly, just to name a few, right? He gets production out of his guys, but, like, this is a guy who got a lot of, you know, hype late in the process. I mean, he tested out of his freaking mind at the pro day. I mean, he's, man, 40-plus inch vert. He's, what, 240 pounds, 250, something like that. I mean, he's a freak athlete, man. So I'm always a little weary with guys who catch heat or, you know, who get some love late in the process, because – why were you getting love early on in the process? That bothers me a little bit. And this is a guy who I think is still kind of raw in a way, where he's going to come in and I think there's going to be growing pains. I think when you watched him at Kentucky, I mean, he made it inside of my top 100, but, like, first round, that's rich. Like, that's really rich. And like you said, I know Ron Rivera is going to, you know, coach up his guys, whatever, but, like, I don't know, man. I'm not just be you're an athlete. That doesn't mean I have to draft you because you're a good athlete. You run fast, you jump high, right? I get it, but I think his instincts can improve. I just, the experience is not there, right? The upside's through the roof if we're talking about, you know, ability. But I just don't know if this is a player I want to come in and start day one. I thought that Washington could have went another direction here. Maybe a receiver round one, right, to pair with Curtis Samuel and Terry McClure. They don't have that big body guy there, right? Like, I would have went with Rashad Bateman. That would have been my pick. I don't know. I don't know what they see in a first-round grade for Davis. I mean, their board is obviously stacked in a way that, you know, we don't get to see what we don't know, but I don't know, man. That was a reach for me. I was not a huge fan of that pick.
Yeah, it was a weird one. I think, like you said, I mean, Davis is a great athlete, right? There's no questioning his ability to run or even cover. I thought he was good in coverage, and that's what the NFL covets. But, you know, this is a guy who just hasn't played a lot of football. He's incredibly raw, and every time we see these type of linebackers go to the NFL, they are faced with significantly more instances of having to read keys and play downhill. And a lot of those guys struggle. And it makes me wary about Jamin, and unless he's in a very specific role where he's going to be successful. Okay, so let's pivot from things that we hated and let's talk about some draft classes that we liked, because I think you and I have a bunch that we liked. We named a bunch pre-show. So what was one of your favorite classes, man?
I think we have to start with Chicago Bears, right? You go up, you get Justin Fields, you're aggressive. And you got to think that Ryan Pace and Nagy, realistically, they could give two hoots about these future picks that they're giving away, because chances are if this don't work out, they don't have a job. So we're going to sell. We're going to mortgage our futures because, you know, my tail's on the line, your tail is on the line. We got to get our guy. Nagy's been set up to fail since day one. He didn't get to draft a quarterback. He had to walk into the Trubisky situation. You know, the whole Watson Mahomes thing after, you know, Trubisky, we know the whole story, right? So it is what it is, man. But you were aggressive. You go get QB to a player who was just for whatever reason, just knocked down boards for reasons I don't really want to say on air, but just knocked down boards. It's just stupid, but aggressive to get Fields. And then you trade up again to get Tevin Jenkins and the most physical player in this class, man. So not only are you filling needs, but you're getting first round players while doing it. So I think what they did was amazing. I think those two picks were spot on to me. I think Denver fumbled the bag there on not taking Fields, but I'm happy for Pace and Nagy, right? You finally get your guy. And he's going to a situation where Nagy is looked at as his offensive mind, and we can kind of reel that back in after seeing him be a coach for a few seasons. But still think he's a smart coach, and I still think they have a plan for Fields, but – he can sit behind Andy Dalton and let Andy Dalton be average for another year if they want, right? At this point, man, I used to be full-fledged, oh, let's sit the rookie quarterbacks down and let them sit. For what? It does nothing, because you don't know what you have until these kids play. Let it be an open quarterback competition. Let Fields go in here. Let him beat out Andy Dalton, right? And if he loses to Andy Dalton, then hell, he loses to Andy Dodd, right? It's not the end of the world. It's a four-year contract. You're gonna get to fifth year. He's a first-round player. Why not, dude? I mean, and Tevin Jenkins, he's going to be a starter right away, right? So, I mean, there's that. I mean, this dude's ready to play. He's going to come in and probably bully grown men the same way he did at Oklahoma State. That's just his play style. But I love what Chicago did, man. They had an overall just a really good draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Chicago, right, I mean, you hit on arguably the two most important positions in football with those two picks. And I think that, I like you said, I mean, you almost undersold it. Like, they got QB2 at pick 11, man. Like, that's really good. And in a good QB class, and, you know, we're going to have to have a conversation about Mac Jones and that hype that he was almost the number 3 overall pick and he ends up going at 15. Like, we're going to have a conversation about that narrative. But, man, I you know, we talked about it a lot pre-draft. Like, I love Justin Fields. I'm very, very excited for him in Chicago. I do want to touch on Denver's draft a little bit because I agree with you. I do think that they should have drafted Justin Fields with the 9th overall pick, and I'm not going to disagree with that. And I did dock them points for that in my draft grades. But excluding that, I think Denver had a really, really good draft. I like what they did.
I mean, they killed it, man. They really killed it. And I think they did a lot of things that I wanted my Chargers to do, so it may sting a little bit more. But, like, you get your hands on Jamar Jefferson, right? You get your hands on Javonte Williams. You get your corner. Hell, you got Seth Williams around 6. This is a development guy. Maybe see the field on special teams. They did the damn thing, man. George Payton was, man, other than being a little coward and not taking your guy in Fields, right? But I think other than that, they killed it, man. And it's going to sting Denver if Fields goes on to become a star, because I think you're in a position now where you've addressed these needs. And I don't care what anybody says, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock are not altering my draft plans at all. And it shouldn't. And then that's what happened there. And on the radio, I was listening on the way home from work yesterday. Was it today? Maybe one of the two. I can't remember. Vic Fangio was saying that they're going to have open competition for Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. Okay, we can all agree that Teddy Bridgewater is going to win that job, right? He knows George Payton, right? He was in Minnesota with Teddy Bridgewater. Drew Lock hasn't shown any promise. The organization hasn't shown any trust in him, right? They were in on almost every veteran quarterback deal they could have tried to be in on. Why not draft Justin Fields, right? That's the only negative thing I can say about Denver's draft. Everything else was a solid A draft. I think they were top 3 drafts, in my opinion, at least top 4. They killed it, man. I really love what they did.
Yeah, me too. And I think the Patrick Surtain pick is obviously always going to be the pick that wasn't Justin Fields, but I think that's a really good selection for them in a bubble, not considering that. I mean, they need a guy who's going to be the starting corner long term. They have a bunch of 1-year deals at corner, including Kyle Fuller. So getting Surtain as a corner one of the future, I think, was great. I don't love trading up for Javonte Williams, but I get it because he's really good. They're going to pair him with Melvin Gordon. That's going to be nice. Then they get Quint Meinerts and Baron Browning at on day 2 as well. 2 players that I think probably fell a little bit further than everyone was expecting. I think Meinerts comes in and maybe he's your starting center early. I think maybe, you know, you let him compete with Lloyd Cushenberry, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, Meinerts might win that job. I think he could win that job. You know, he's got guard versatility as well. If you need to play him there, he can play there. I was skeptical of Baron Browning coming into the process, but I'm going to be honest. If there's one place I would like him to go and develop, it would be with Vic Fangio, Denver.
Yes.
He does a great job with linebackers. Browning has all the physical tools that you could possibly ask for. So I love that pick. And then they made a couple of nice value selections late. I like Kerry Vincent Jr. and Seth Williams in the slots that they were drafted in. I think Kerry is a really, really good athlete. I think he could develop into a decent starting slot corner possibly. And then Seth Williams is a nice big body receiver who might be able to give you some reps in the red zone or something like that. So I really like what Denver did, man. Outside of passing on Justin Fields, which obviously, again, I think we can both agree that they probably should have taken him. Using that as a transition, I want to talk about another draft class that I really like, that another team that passed on Justin Fields, though, the Panthers. I thought the Panthers had a good draft. Again, they should have probably drafted Justin Fields. I'm not a Sam Darnold believer. I thought that trade was fine for them, but it should not have altered their draft plans. It should not have pushed them from taking a quarterback like Justin Fields, which they ended up obviously not doing. But I really like what they did overall. I think J.C. Horn's going to be really good for them in that scheme. I think they're going to get him up the line of scrimmage and let him be physical. I have seen Matt Rhule talk about scheme before. He likes big-bodied corners who are going to be physical and aggressive. That's what they ran at Temple when he was there. So I really like what the Panthers did overall as well. They get Tommy Tremble with good value. I like they got Terrence Marshall at the back end of the second round. I thought that was an absolute steal. Marshall was a top 30 player for me. Assuming he's healthy, I think they've got a really, really nice set of weapons for Sam Darnold. I think, you know, you have Robbie Anderson, you have DJ Moore, you add Terrence Marshall Jr., you add Tommy Tremble, Christian McCaffrey is going to be healthy this year. I mean, that's a good group of pass catchers, I think, for a young quarterback. So no excuses for Sam Darnold. You know, I think Brady Christensen was a small reach, but I get it. You know, I think he can come in and be a solid tackle for you. So I really like what the Panthers did outside of passing on Justin Fields. But, you know, I think that they did a good job. I think that's two back-to-back drafts for this new, you know, Panthers regime. Now, obviously adding Scott Fitterer, but I like what they've done so far.
I would have taken Fields. We can all agree that, right? I would have taken Fields. But like you said, physical press man corner and J.C. Horn. We talked about Terrace Marshall. There's some injury concerns there, so he slid a little bit. But, man, he was the man at LSU when he was the number one guy. You talked about the athletic tackle and Brady Christensen. Chuba Hubbard was the one that kind of made me scratch my head because apparently Matt Rhule's wife is the one who made that pick. I heard that, or he just came out of Matt Rhule's mouth himself. His wife called when they were on the clock and said, draft Chuba Hubbard. So he called Chuba Hubbard, and they drafted Chuba Hubbard. How he sees snaps, what? I don't – I have to find it on social media, man. I can't make this up. But how did he see snaps, I don't know, right?
They must have, like – they must have been all ready to take him or something. There's no way, dude.
I have to – I don't know. I really don't know. But I really like the Tommy Tremble pick because it's round three, right? It's a guy with not a lot of experience just because he was playing with on a team that had stacked tight ends when every year he was there. ton of room for improvement. I get not even improvement, just a ton of upside, really. Just the limited reps he got, man, you kind of see what kind of player he can be. So I think my favorite picks are it has to be J.C. Horn, it has to be Terrace Marshall because you lose Curtis Samuel to free agency. He's gonna come in, he's gonna play right away, man. And a system with Joe Brady, who he's familiar with, which I'm sure had a lot to do with this pick, he may be a star. And I don't know how much longer Joe Brady's there, because if Sam Darnold turns into the player they think he can be, he's going to get a head coaching job somewhere soon. But I love what the Panthers did. I mean, we loved Chuba Hubbard super early on in the process. And then the season happening, like, what the hell happened?
I mean, he was just bad this year. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Dude wasn't good at football this year.
He just was not good, man. So who knows, man? Maybe he can get some NFL coaching. I know there's a, you know, culture issue there, but that has nothing to do with your own playability. You can learn a lot from Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be come back 100% healthy. I just don't see where this dude gets on the field, because when McCaffrey's healthy, he's getting like 90% of the snaps. So I don't know. I mean, only reason Mike Davis had the season he had last year is because McCaffrey was hurt. So I don't know. But overall, good haul for Carolina. I like what they did, although Justin Fields would have been my pick.
Yeah, me too. The only other pick I want to talk about is Davion Nixon. I just think that's really good value. Obviously, the off character pushed him down the field.
Hold on, before you go any further, do you not remember when he was getting first round hype?
No, I do remember. I do remember.
And here we are, and I don't know where it came from, but I like him as a player, and I love the value, but this was not a first-round player. And this is going to sound negative, but I'm happy he went where he went so people could actually see that this is not a groupthink process. Just because one major guy says something doesn't mean us as people have to first-round, got to put him in there. Good football player, love what they did. Him and Derek Brown could be good, but I had to get that out. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, I think that, like – that goes back to kind of what we talked about a little bit on our last show, right? Where it was like, I mean, I'll be honest, I mocked Davion Nixon in the first round in the middle of the year to the Vikings, because, like, again, when I do a mock draft, it's just like, I'm trying to be predictive. You know what I mean? Like, that is not, but I never viewed Davion Nixon as a first round player. Like, he's always been a second round player on my board. So I did like that value. I don't know. Any other draft classes you want to talk about? I've given the first two. So, man, you know, what do you got? There's a bunch. I feel like we should save Detroit for when Tyler comes back.
Yeah. Can we touch on Cincinnati really quick, man?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Listen, I don't want to say Jamar Chase is a bad pick, but he's a damn good football player. It's not a bad pick. And Cincinnati had a chance to get this thing right. Top of the second round, Liam Eichenberg is available, Tevin Jenkins. They had a chance to draft Jenkins.
Man, imagine rooting for a team that didn't draft Liam Eichenberg. Could not be me.
It could not be me, right? And I get Eichenberg's not the sexy pick, but I'm like, dude, like, you end up taking Jackson Carmen, who they say is going to play guard.
Like, yeah, they say he's going to compete for right guard, I believe.
My man Burrow just tore his ACL. Like, I don't understand where we're going with this thing. And I forgot who tweeted this out or what account this came from, but just have an average offensive line and just have Burrow get the ball out quick. They tried that last year, and it didn't work. You can do the whole 50, 60 throw the ball times a game, but like it's the NFL, man. The air raid, just ask the Cardinals how the air raid offense is working, right? I mean, they have better skill players, but like overall, right? Like that whole air raid thing, that's out the window, man. That spread offense type deal in the way they're running it. I'm sorry. I'm not predicting. I'm just saying I have an opinion. And I don't know if Joe Burrow is going to last long in the NFL, man. Right, year one. Just listen, man. Year one, you get hurt ACL because your offensive line is bad. He was getting hit a lot even before the injury, yes. Man.
Yeah,
you come in here and they don't put any type of protection around you, right? You don't have, man. I don't know. I'm not a fan of what's incident. And they took a kicker in round five. You couldn't find a UDFA. Yeah. Like, come on, there's something. Come on, dude. Evan McPherson, whatever. The whole bottle video, cool beans. I don't care, man. But come on, can we get my man some protection? I don't know. That was bad draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was tough, right? Because, you know, like you don't want to sit there and be like, Jamar Chase is a bad pick. I mean, I think he was probably both a top 10 player on both of our boards. So, like, you know, you don't want to sit there and be like, that's a bad pick. But it's tough because, you know, I think the Bengals have two good receivers already, maybe even three if you want to count, like, Auden Tate as, like, a serviceable guy. You have Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins in the building who are consistently been productive, solid players, at least in Boyd's case. Higgins had a good rookie season. I don't hate that pick. And here's what I'll say about the Carmen pick. Do I love it? No. However, two things. One, he's better than Walker Little. Two, yeah, okay. Two, if he's like a solid starting guard for a while, I mean, shit, that's better than what Cincinnati had before, damn it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's bad.
You know? Like,
yeah, I agree.
Look,
I agree.
I love the pick? No. Was that a reach for me? I mean, I had a third round grade on Carmen. He was like my 80th overall player. They took him at like 44. Do I love it? No. But like, again, if I'm Cincinnati, like I haven't had a good offensive line in like 3 years. If Carmen's like a good starting guard, it's not the worst pick in the world. Is it great? No. Is it the worst pick in the world? Also, no. And the one thing I'll give the Bengals credit for is, yes, obviously they took a kicker, which, like, I mean, come on, man. But I think they did. I think they had a couple really good picks in a row. I like the Joseph Asai pick at 69.
Yes.
I think that's good value. He's a really good athlete. He can play a couple roles for you. I really like the Cameron Sample pick as well in the fourth round at 111. I think that he's a guy who can come in and be pretty versatile on the line. He can play 5-4 and 3-tech if you really want to. Long arms, low floor player. And then obviously I'm a big Deontay Smith guy, the tackle that they took in the fourth round as well. I think that maybe he can be their right tackle of the future, you know, maybe give him a year to develop and he can kind of be that right tackle. But again, those I'm like here touting day three picks, which is like never where you want to be in your draft class, right? Like the opportunity is that those guys are probably not going to hit. Maybe one of them will if they're lucky. So I don't hate the Bengals draft. I just think it was a whole pile of meh. You know, that's kind of where I'm at with it.
It's a very weird draft. The Texans draft was not great.
Let's talk about the Texans because I think that they're an interesting conversation, and that seems to be we're just going to have interesting conversations about various draft classes.
Yes.
They made a couple of picks, Davis Mills being the first. What do you think about that?
From what NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reported, it's an insurance policy. Tyrod Taylor is also your insurance policy. I don't know what. I mean, I won't get touched into the whole Watson thing. I know people think he may not play this year and whatever. I have no business speaking on any of that stuff. But like, I don't know what they did, man. I'm sitting here looking, and they're just a bad football team. They don't have any. It's like they don't have a plan, man. Davis Mills round three, Nico Collins round three, which I think Nico Collins is a talented guy who dealt with, you know, bad quarterback play at Michigan. Brevin Jordan, who obviously I was a lot higher on, but round five, man, that's I didn't think he'd slide that low. Garrett Waller was a guy I didn't even have ranked on my board, and Roy Lopez from Arizona. So like, it's a bad draft. I think Nico Collins and Brevin Jordan bring some upside to you. Maybe down the road you see these guys see some rotational snaps, right? You know what I mean? But like, the potential for those guys to be good is there. Good athletes, right? Get after with the ball in their hands after the catch, whatever. But like, this organization is a position where like they're going to be bad next year, man. Where they're going to be talking about, hey, Sam. I really think they're going to have a top three pick next year. I think it's going to be Sam Howell, Spencer Rattler. Like, they're going to be a bad football team. And if that happens, man, the trade value you're expecting to get in return from Deshaun Watson, it's gonna decrease, in my opinion, because teams know you're going to draft a quarterback because you're moving on from this guy, right? So, like, they're in a weird position. I just don't know what – I don't know, man. Davis Mills, if I was to spend a late-round pick on a quarterback, it would have been him. I think he has some upside, right? But, like, I just don't know what the hell they have going on.
Yeah, here's the thing that first of all, I don't envy Nick Caserio not being able to make a pick in the first two rounds and also having his quarterback like maybe commit several felonies and not be able to play this year. Like, that's a tough position to be in as a first year GM. A couple of question marks that I have about the Davis Mills pick. The first one is, you cannot tell me he was their top quarterback on the board. And here's why. Kyle Trask and Kellen Mond went directly before him. There is no way. We saw a run on quarterbacks. There is absolutely a 0% chance that Davis Mills – I mean, obviously not zero, but I just don't – they're going to say that he was, and they're going to tout that, and we might never find out. I refuse to believe that they had him ranked over Kyle Trask and Kellen Mond. I will not believe it. I think they panicked, and they realized that two quarterbacks that they had ranked – similarly to Mills came off the board and they went, screw it, we're going to draft Davis Mills. And I'm on record saying that Davis Mills was my QB5 in this class. I thought he's better than Mac Jones. So, you know, that like, and here's the thing for me is like, just because I thought Davis Mills was better than Mac Jones does not mean Davis Mills is good. And I want to make that differentiation here because I don't want to get pegged as like the David Mills truther because I'm very much not. Davis Mills has a little bit of an arm and he's a little bit mobile, which Mac Jones is neither of. So that was a weird pick for me. And then I want to talk a little bit about the Nico Collins pick because here, they traded up to make that selection, right?
Yes.
Here's the trade. Houston traded 109 in the fourth round, 158th overall in the fifth round, and then a fourth rounder next season to move up to 89.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot in that trade for Nico Collins.
For a player who is – he's not a bad football player. No. He's dealt with bad quarterback play, right? He's a good athlete, right? He can go up and play above the rim, make plays in the air. But it's a third-round pick. Like, yeah. I don't know what – Nick Caserio, you would think that he came from the Patriots, he would understand the value of draft picks, the way they operated for so long in New England, and then to see him give up what he gave up for a player who is not going to give you any production in year one, right? I don't think this is going to be a guy that comes in and you're like, damn, he had a solid rookie year. I don't see that happening from Nico Collins, partially because your quarterback situation is murky, and then again, maybe he might. Will Fuller's gone.
That's what I was about to say, man. Right, like, ain't got nobody in the room.
Now that I think about it, I want to walk that one back. He may be productive in year one. I'm still not giving up all the picks they gave up for him, but
no.
The receiver room is thin, so he may come in and play right away. He may be good. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Houston's in a really weird spot. I don't envy them, but I don't see the process. You know, we can sit here and harp on these draft picks, and let's be honest, you and I don't know jack. I mean, these picks could turn around and be stars. Way better than we expect, exactly. Right? Like, I mean, come on. But, you know, I think one thing that we can evaluate is good process. And, like, it just seems like consistently across the board, whether it's free agency, handling a franchise quarterback before all this stuff came out, I mean – Houston just consistently seems to have a bad process, no matter what the outcome is, no matter what they're doing. I mean, hell, I even think they had a bad process on the JJ Watt thing. You're trying to tell me you couldn't get anything for JJ Watt and you just outright cut him?
Yeah,
I don't want to get off on that tangent. I'm just saying, like, this is a team with a consistent, utterly stupid process across the board. And I just don't understand it. So let's pivot away for that. Speaking of consistently, utterly stupid processes, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys draft before we get out of here. Really, really, maybe I'm being too harsh, but like, weird. Like, I just like, again, like, it's less about the players that they picked and more about, like, I just don't get the process. Like, I don't understand the thought process. This was not like, you know, most of these picks, I mean, they could not have been BPA. I mean, like, I just don't understand. Like, I don't know, man. What do you think about what Dallas did this weekend?
So I'm going to start my spiel by talking about a sixth round pick, and that's Israel Mukamu. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, from South Carolina. I oddly liked him. I think he brings versatility to a defense. I think he can be a safety.
Yeah, he could be a strong safety. I agree.
Yeah, right. So I'll give you credit there. That's good. Does he even make the roster? Lord knows. The chances of sixth or seventh round picks become the next Tom Brady are slim. Listen, Micah Parsons, we'll start there, right? The board didn't fall in a way that Dallas would have hoped, right? J.C. Horn is gone. Surtain is gone. We know that corner was their top priority. We can all agree there because the secondary was bad. It's horrible. Swiss cheese. Micah Parsons comes in, and in my opinion, the best defensive player in the draft, you had to go BPA because the overall makeup of your offseason was improving your defense. So I do not hate the Parsons pick. I understand it. Your next pick was what? Kelvin Joseph, I believe, the corner from Kentucky. Upside is there. You can tell that this is not BPA. This is just, we need to just start going after need, right? So we're just going to take positions that we really, really need to improve on. All of this goes back to paying Byron Jones to be your corner number one. You're not in this position if you pay this guy. Instead of paying a running back, instead of paying Jalen Smith, I don't know, man. And then you harped it in pre-show, man. You weren't really a huge fan of the Jabril Cox draft pick because the linebacker room is full.
Well, here's the thing. I love the Jabril Cox pick from a value perspective because that's a good football player that they got late. And I like Jabril Cox, the player. But, like, man, where the hell are you going to play this dude? That's my problem, right? Because they drafted Parsons and they were like, okay, he's going to be the Mike. And they still have Jalen Smith under contract. We just got a report today from Adam Schefter, I think, or Ian Rappaport, one of those guys that was like, hey, they're not going to exercise Leighton Vander Esch's fifth-year option, but they're going to extend him. That's three linebackers. Then we saw a report that they're going to move Keanu Neal to Will linebacker. That's four linebackers. And you draft Jabril Cox. That's five. Where the hell are you playing these guys? What, are you going to run a 3-5-3? Like, I don't understand. Where are these guys? And I like Jabril Cox. That's my favorite pick of the whole damn draft. But where are you going to play him?
I don't know, man. And I think they took him because not Gus Bradley. Dan Quinn is their defensive coordinator. He's used to having athletic linebackers who can cover, whether it was Seattle, whether it was Atlanta. That's something he's used to, guys who can run around and cover. And that's something Jabril Cox can do. But, like, snaps, I don't know where he gets on the field. That's the issue, man. I just do not see it. This is classic Dallas Cowboys stuff, man. This is where we're going to make picks that confuse the shit out of people. And then if it works out, it works out. We look like we're great. And if it doesn't work, we're back to square one. So, like, I'm not sure what Jerry Jones and them got going on, man. But I don't know, man. They were unlucky, so I get the trade back part. The board didn't fall. But the overall haul was just not great to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to harp on the linebacker thing, but, like, this is a team now that's invested, like, a ton of draft capital into that position. You've taken two linebackers in the first round in recent years. Leighton Vander Esch was a first-round pick, which, by the way, I liked. I love Leighton Vander Esch out of Boise State. I thought he was a great football player. Injuries have taken a toll on his career. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's lost a step. He doesn't look like the same player. Jalen Smith was a high pick. He was not a first rounder, but he was a high leverage selection. And you've paid him a top of the line contract at that position. And now you've paid money to Keanu Neal as well. And you've taken Jabril Cox. Obviously that was a value pick and it's not going to cost you a lot of money, but, like, you've invested a lot of draft capital and a lot of money. Apparently, you're going to invest more money into that position because you're going to pay Leighton Vander Esch an extension. Why? I don't understand. It's so weird. And this is a team, again, and we can, like, they drafted Nashawn Wright in the top 100. They drafted, Boss Man Fat or Kelvin Joseph, whatever you want to call him. I prefer Boss Man Fat because, I mean, come on. But, Boss Man Fat, great. Great lower body. He's got all the athletic potential in the world. That man cannot start a corner for you in year one. He can't. He's going to get torched. It's not going to go well.
Man, listen, they threw Trevon Diggs out there last year one. And
Jeff Okuda got worked last year. And we're going to put Boss Man Fat on the field in year one?
I guess. Dude, this is the Cowboys, man. They don't prioritize. For so long, they've invested so much time and money and effort to building the offensive line, to building skill players, to building your running back and your quarterback room. I get it. And they put off the defense for so long. They put themselves in this horrible position where the board didn't fall the way it wanted to. So they had to take the BPA approach in Parsons. The corners they selected are, like you said, just meh. And from here on out, we don't – their corner room is real suspect, man. Like, Trevon Diggs is your corner one. And that's scary because Trevon Diggs is not a bad football player, but year one just didn't look high.
He's a CB2, man. He's a CB2. He's a quintessential CB2.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, like, again, like, even if Joseph ends up being that dude, you know, like – I don't know, man. It's just, it's weird. Like, again, it's less about the players selected and more about the process. It's just like I get trading back and you get Parsons. It's like, okay, fine. But then like, don't extend Leighton Van Der Esch, let him walk. And then don't draft Jabril Cox, even though that's my favorite pick. It's just like, you only have so many linebacker reps. That is not a valuable position. This is not the Dolphins stacking DBs. DBs get on the field, man. I can get five of those dudes on the field at one time if I want. Hell, I can get six of them on the field if I want. You got three linebackers, maybe four. Like, this is not a position that you should be putting this amount of resources into. And then they just neglect corner. I mean, like, you know, Kelvin Joseph is fine. I think he's a good athlete. Maybe he'll be better than we think. But, like, man, he's raw. He has not played a lot of football. There was grumblings about character concerns. Like, Kentucky was like, dude, go enter the draft. We don't want you to come back. And like, that's like, a, you know, not great. Maybe Nashawn Wright's really good. He's big as hell. I don't know. Maybe, you know, he's just really long and that's great. Yeah. You know, like, but he didn't run very well. His tape is like, you know, based on what I've seen, I've watched one game of film. Oregon State film was like trying to find a black box this year. Couldn't get it. But like, you know, he looked okay, I guess, but like top 100, you need corners.
It's rich, man. It's very rich. I mean, to wrap it up, I think that Dallas really doesn't care about the whole character thing, man. Right? They
Josh Ball, man. What 11 domestic violence incidents at Florida State. You know how hard it is to get kicked out of Florida State, man?
Yes.
Like, really? Yes. Like, not a guy you should be drafting. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Second chances. Apparently, this dude had, like, 10 of them already. Like, the ship sailed, brother. Like, let's go.
They don't care. They do not care.
No, you're right. They don't care. All right. We're at 40 minutes. Any other draft classes that you want to cover before we get out of here real quick?
Oh, man. Can we talk about the Green Bay Packers?
Real quick, yeah, let's do it.
We'll make it quick. Eric Stokes, round one, reach. Eric Stokes made it into my top five, so I don't want to say I don't like the player, but my man Rodgers is requesting to trade for a reason. You guys haven't drafted – I think they've drafted – I can't remember the tweet – two offensive players.
It's Jordan Love in the last eight years.
So that speaks for itself. Josh Myers, I think, is going to come in. They developed a hell out of center, so he may be a good guy. I like Amari Rodgers a lot after the catch. Good slot option. And then Kylan Hill in round seven is awesome, but you already have two backs on your roster, so I don't know if he even gets snaps. If he makes a team, it's the seventh round pick. I don't know what their process is here, man. I don't know. I would have taken Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, but I heard that he had a heart issue. That's why he slid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was a great pick for Cleveland. But other than that, I just really wasn't a huge fan. And, like, if your quarterback has rumblings that he doesn't want to be here, maybe let's get some more talent offensively around him. I get he has an all-pro tackle in Bakhtiari. He has an all-pro receiver in Davante Adams. He has a Pro Bowl caliber running back in Aaron Jones. I completely understand that. But, like, how can we spend a premium pick on an offensive player while I've been here? It just hasn't happened. So, I'm not a huge fan of what they did.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's another pile of meh for me. I like Stokes. I like Myers. I like Rodgers. I think that they're fine, and they can serve roles for you. I just don't think that anything they did really puts them over the top. I don't think anything they did is going to make, you know, Aaron Rodgers significantly happier. You know, I think that they're kind of stuck right now, and they have to repair that bridge. I don't think Jordan Love is going to be that dude. You know, I mean, he was a healthy scratch this year. That's a red flag to me, and I know maybe they did that on purpose, but, like, also why? You know what I mean? Like, if you're not beating out Tim Boyle, man, that's, you know, that's rough.
I've heard conflicting reports. I hear that he hasn't progressed in practice, and then Rappaport comes out and says that the Packers like what they have. Well, they're going to say
Packers
that.
They're going to release that now. They have to.
They have no choice. We spent a first-round pick on this kid. But like you said, a pile of meh.
Yeah, the only other draft class I want to touch on real quick before we get out of here. I really like what Cleveland did this weekend. I thought they had a great draft. I thought they hit on like pretty much every single one of their picks. They hit needs. They got really good value. Love Greg Newsom. Love Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at the top. I think those guys are awesome. Good value with Tommy Tongiai as well. I thought that was a really good pick in a position of need. These guys come in and contribute early. So really like what Cleveland did. I think that's it, though.
That is it, man. It's fun. We got to get Tyler back on here.
We didn't want to go like too far and cover every team. We want Tyler to get in here. We want to hear his thoughts. So we just wanted to kind of do our quick hitters, our instant reaction to the first round. So with that said, thank you for listening to this episode of Inside the War Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and have not already, please subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. And make sure to stick around in the summer. We're going to be talking about, I'm assuming we're going to review all the draft classes at some point. This was kind of just me and Saray going back and forth, spitballing quick ball thoughts and stuff like that. But we're also going to go really, really deep into summer scouting and 2022 stuff, although I'm sure Tyler will begrudgingly be annoyed at Saray and I. We have like top 150 boards in July. But we are going to do that stuff, man. We're going to really try and bring the energy this summer and keep you guys engaged on draft content. So please leave us a 5-star review and come back next week. With that said, peace out.